Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikulskas, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Randy Susan Myers, who is out with her latest novel, Wasted. It is available now wherever your fine books are sold. Randy, the book title I absolutely love, but the opening line, "Everyone hated a fat woman, but none more than she hated herself." How long have you been waiting to use that opening line in a book?
Oh, my God, a long, long time. I have been thinking, this book has been in my head since forever, but it took me four other books before I was brave enough to write it. You know, even though previously I've written about things as intense as domestic homicide and traumatic brain injury and Ponzi schemes and affairs, this one, personally, was the most difficult to write, and it took me a while to be brave enough.
Well, and we're talking Wasted, W-A-I-S-T-E-D, not like spring break in college, but it's weight loss. But what was so difficult about writing a book about this?
Well, I had to go into my own, even though my other books touched on stuff, especially my first, which is about sisters witnessing their father murder their mother, although my father tried but didn't succeed. This one was very intensely personal because I've struggled with weight issues my entire life, up and down, but mainly in terms of never feeling good enough. No matter how low my weight was, I still look in the mirror and see somebody my mother's going to be unhappy with.
Is that a female thing? Do men and women handle the weight issues differently, do you see?
You know, it's interesting because I was saying recently that it's really more of a female thing, and I guess I believe that, but I was speaking to a guy, a man, somebody in your position, an interview, who said, well, I've struggled with the same stuff. So I guess since I've only lived as a woman, maybe I can't say, and I have read quite a few wonderful memoirs by men about this issue, so it might enact a bit differently, but I think we still hate fat as a society and get really judgy all the time.
Well, take me just into the plot a little bit, kind of set it up, what's going on in this book, because it involves reality TV sort of things and all that.
Yes. This is about two women who are so obsessed with their weight, even though they're two successful, you know, women in their careers and with their families. Their weight issues are always front and center, one because of her mother, and one because of her husband, because she got married when she was breakup skinny, and her husband thought she'd always be like that. And they actually leave their families to go for a month to what they think will be a wonderful healing weight loss kind of place, and it turns out to be an absolute fat-shaming documentary being made by evil filmmakers.
You know, I've talked to people who've had weight issues, and it seems like the pressure that you get from the mother is more biting and more lasting than it would be from a husband. Did you get that idea as you talk to people?
I really think I think mothers, parents, they impact us in a way that probably nobody else does. But I think having a husband who's unsatisfied with your weight, that can really be devastating.
The whole idea of filmmakers being involved here, we've seen this. I remember The Biggest Loser and different situation there. But when filmmakers get involved in this, what is it about the voyeuristic aspects of our society that anybody would want to see this?
That's one of the things I wanted to explore, because in order to write this, I watched a number of these reality shows, and there is an aversion, perversion, fascination, like a triad going on. I don't know if it's whether there but for the grace of God go I, or I can't believe this, or that we're rooting for these people to win. I think everybody comes to it with a different place, but there is a fascination. I think maybe it has the same thing to do with which we will watch a TV show that leaves us terrified and hanging by a thread more than we might watch A Happily Ever After.
This story takes place in a mansion there, a weight loss mansion. Where did you get your ideas for describing the mansion? Did you have something in mind?
I did. I took a vacation in Vermont a couple of years ago, and I drove around, and the area really spoke to me as, oh, this would be the perfect setting. And then what I do, I always pick out my houses for everybody. I either drive around, or I go onto real estate sites, believe it or not. And I found this mansion on a real estate site, and boy, did I want to buy it. It was a little expensive.
But nonetheless, you grabbed it for your own and your creative endeavors, right?
I have a whole bunch of photos dedicated to this book. I always do that. I make these fantastic scrapbooks just for me.
Something else that comes out in the book is the way that food touches our lives, just our psyche. And so as you developed your research for this, what is it about food that it's almost people don't eat just for the sake of eating anymore, just for the sake of nourishment? There's a certain intellectual activity that's going on with it.
Food is the first soothing that we get, and food is the first thing that is either given or withheld. So it's either approbation or punishment or a gift. Eating is fun. Eating can be limited. And it's a strange thing because it's not like smoking or drugs where you can just stop. You still have to eat even if you want to lose weight. So food is all-encompassing.
When you talk about the psyches of these people, it's not just the weight loss that they're going for. It's really affecting the way that they view the outside world. So how do especially, you know, with Daphne and Alice, when they go through this, how does their brain metamorphosize, if that's a word, as far as their outward view as the weight loss goes on?
I think it should be a word, Brian, even if it's not. I think that they are under such pressure that something really had to change. And it could have gone many different ways. Sort of like a piece of coal under pressure. And I think for both of them, a diamond came out, a new awareness of what was, well, I don't want to give it away, but a diamond does come out at the end. I really do believe that under pressure we show who we are.
You wrote this book from alternating perspectives, and I always think that's a huge challenge for a novelist when you change the perspective from the different characters. Am I just looking too far into that, or is that really a challenge for you to kind of shift your mindset from Daphne to Alice?
Well, I think for some people, some people hate it. It's like everything with writing. There's no one way. I happen to love doing different characters. It really keeps me on my toes. I love that everything looks different from different eyes. And I was trying to figure out how I do this writing, because it's very close up when I get inside the characters. And I heard an actor talk about being a method actor, and I thought, oh, maybe I'm a method writer.
Well, can you?
I really do go right inside. I become them.
So is it something where once you're focused on a chapter, say on Alice, you can't think about anything else? Or do you get ideas that, oh, you know what, Daphne would do this. Let me jot this down and I'll get to that later.
No, when I'm with Alice, I am with Alice. And when I'm with Daphne, I am Daphne. It's an ability that I seem to be lucky enough to possess, that I am there with them. And then when I'm done, I'm done. I'm also very good at dissociating.
But doesn't that also limit you then, that, you know what, I'd love to add this into this chapter, but Daphne wouldn't see it. Alice would.
Well, I teach writing as well as be a writer, and so point of view is really important to me in terms of telling a story. So how am I choosing to tell this story? And I am telling it from a very close-up point of view. So I have to stay inside them. It's like I am the camera. So when I'm Daphne, I am Daphne's view on the world.
And
there are many ways to do it, but for me, that one really works. And I can always jot something down on the side.
Well, as you teach writing, and I've gotten different answers with this over the years from different people who've written things who also teach, can anybody learn to be a writer, or do you have to have the talent and just be able to hone it when you go to some type of formal training for it?
I believe that it's really important to have a natural bent. I mean, if you don't like writing, it'd be really hard to teach it, or if you're not a reader. But if you have it all of a natural bent towards it, whether or not you can become a very good writer means learning the craft. So first you need the talent and the desire, and then you need to learn the craft and the rules, and then you can break them.
And then do you subscribe to the theory that you need to break the young authors down and, you know, kind of limit the number of people who come out from writing training and try to publish?
No.
Or do you encourage everyone?
I praise and critique everyone. but I don't believe that being mean is a way to teach. That's me. And the place where I teach, Grub Street Writers Center in Boston, is the same thing. I believe people flourish under kindness and goodness, even while being taught. I mean, you can't. The reason you teach is because people do not yet know that, know it. So how can you critique people for not knowing what they have not yet been taught?
That's a good point. No. We had you on for Widow of Wall Street a couple years ago. What have you learned about writing? I mean, I'm sure you never stop learning, but what did you learn between these books now that you didn't know about writing before?
That's a hard question. I think I learned that one has to really separate the two beings, the person that is the writer in the room and the person alone and concentrating, and then the person that goes out there and tells the world about their book. Those are really different jobs, and you have to be able to dissociate them.
All right. This latest novel is Wasted. It's available now wherever you find books are sold. The author is Randy Susan Myers. Randy, just another fantastic offering here. My mom read this book after I did and told me how much she loved it as well, so I thought I'd pass that along to you.
You just made my launch day. Thank you.
All right. Well, happy launch day.
Mom, a hug.
I will do that. Happy launch day to you, Randy Susan Myers. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Take care.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.
I take you just the way you are.